Thank you, Melissa. James chapter 1, mark your place at verse 17, if you will, and we'll read through verse 25 and then talk about being a mature Christian. How do I respond to truth is the message title tonight. We talked about how do I respond to trials. James dealt with that. And then we discussed, secondly, in the second message, how do I respond to temptation? Temptation to sin. Trials, temptation. And now tonight, we're going to look at how do I respond to truth. James chapter 1, beginning with verse 17, we'll read through verse 25 as you follow. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So here's what we're dealing with tonight. How do I respond to truth? James is introducing to us here a beautiful and marvelous gift. What is that gift? That gift is the Word of God. That's what he's talking about in verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. I'm glad tonight we have the word of truth. And it's still true. It's just as true as it ever was. And God has preserved it. And here we have it tonight. The word of truth. And so he's speaking of that. We have the gift of his word. We have the truth. We have the mirror of truth in the blessed word of God. And I'm glad that we do. Verse 19, he admonishes us, be swift to hear. To hear what? To hear the truth. To hear the word of God. Be quick, be swift to hear the word of God. It is truth, and we need to recognize that as something that is so important in our lives. Now, if we're going to mature in the Lord, if we're going to grow up like we're supposed to grow up, then we need the word of God. We must spend time in the Word of God. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may what? Grow thereby. Start off desiring the milk and then grow, get to the meat of the Word of God, mature, grow up in the Lord. So in order to mature, I think we have to spend time in the Word of God. I cannot think of one spiritual Christian, one spiritually mature Christian who neglects Bible reading. I just can't think of any of them. If you neglect your Bible reading, you're not going to be a mature Christian. At best, you might achieve some maturity and backslide and get away from God if you don't spend time in the Word of God. We spend time with television, DVDs, we spend time with games, we spend time on the telephone, we spend time with all kinds of things. God help us to spend time with His Word. We must find time, plan time, put it into our schedule so that we're reading the Word of God, because we're never going to mature unless we do that. And then when we read it, we have to respond to the truth, respond to the Word. Not going to do you any good to read the Bible and not respond to it. It's not going to do you any good to know the truth if you do not respond and obey the truth in the Word of God. Now, he shows us some different approaches to truth. First of all is a casual look. Verses 23 and 24. This is a casual look at truth. Look at it. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He's talking about a man looking in the mirror. And he's saying a person who reads the word of God and really doesn't obey it, that is a casual look. And that illustration would be like this. It would be like a man looking in a mirror saying, boy, I really need to shave. I know I need to shave, but I just don't believe I'm going to do it. I'm not going to lather up and get my razor out, or maybe an electric razor, and I'm not going to shave. I see it, I need to shave, but I'm not going to shave. Or maybe for those of you with beards, trim my beard. Whatever it may be, whatever case you may be dealing with, you look in the mirror, you see I have a need there in that mirror, but I'm not going to do anything about it. A woman said on one occasion to her pastor, Pastor, I read through the Bible this year. I read every word of the Bible. And he, knowing her as well as he did, said to her, well, what did you learn? She said, what do you mean? He said, well, you're still nagging your husband. You still don't come out on church visitation. You don't win anybody to the Lord. And you don't come to prayer meeting ever. What did you learn when you read through the Word of God? You see, now I didn't say that as another pastor. Right? But I sure would like to sometimes. But at any rate, a lot of Christians read the Bible and they just read it. They don't obey it. It's like standing at the mirror and looking at it and going back and looking at it and seeing that there's a need, but it's just a quick, casual look, and then on our way. That's it. Another way people look at the Bible is a curious look. A curious look. Those are the people who want to discuss all day long the knot holes in Noah's Ark. What is the spiritual significance of the knot holes in Noah's Ark? I love to be around people like that want to argue about theology all day long. They want to either that, or they want to cap. They just want to talk about prophecy. I've known some people who have books. I've been in their home. They have books. They showed me all the books they ordered on Bible prophecy, and they would come to church about once a month, and then finally got out of church. What good does it do you to know all that Bible prophecy and all of those things if you're not going to live for the Lord? Prophecy is to warn us and bring us to the point that we know what's going on in the world so we can get busy and be motivated to serve God as we see these things happening. Prophecy is for that purpose. But people look at it and they want to talk about it and all of that. They've read all of the different books. They've read Left Behind and other. They've read some of the older books that might have been written, like The Late Great Planet Earth and many of the others, and a lot of prophetical books. There's some newer ones, of course. And they read curiously, but it just doesn't do anything for them. They do not respond, and that is a sad thing. And then, of course, you have some who read the Bible with a critical look. They have a critical look, not just a curious look, but a critical look. And they look at the scriptures to try to find fault, to try to find errors, to perhaps even as a professor of theology in a seminary, a liberal seminary somewhere, to try to show their students where there might be some things that you can't really count on, and maybe that was not the authentic book, so on and so forth. God help them for doing such a foolish thing. But we don't need to criticize the scripture. Listen, there are no errors in this book. Our mighty God, just how great is God, is a God that can take his word, bring it into the English language, and for 400 years preserve it for us so we have it today. We have the sure word of God. Not somebody's opinion, but we have the sure word of God. And I want to tell you that many hammers have been ruined on the anvil of the Word of God of people who have tried to beat on it and beat on it and beat on it, and archaeology and other things come up and just make fools out of them. We don't need to look at the Word of God with a critical look. Now, you can look at it you can look at it as an individual who really wants to know what it's saying, and you really want to know the deep details of it. But we don't need to be critical of the Word of God. But then there's a good one in verse 25, and that is a continuing look. Look at it. in verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, that's the word of God that he's speaking about and what they had available to them, he being not a forgetful hearer, not like the casual hearer, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And you know the book of James is written about justification in the sight of other people. And so he's saying this is important that we look at it carefully and continuously. And then when we do that, what's going to be the result? You're going to grow. We need godly, mature Christians in our churches today. People who have grown in the Lord, and that'll make a good, solid, healthy church. And this is what'll make you grow, is if you get into the Word carefully and have a continuing look as you stay in the Word and study the Word of God. You'll become a doer of the work and not just somebody who reads the Bible, and you will be blessed. God will bless you for it. Now, there are some different approaches when it comes to the Word of God, some different things that we look at. And we have the parable of the seed in Mark chapter 4. And we know that the seed there is representative of the Word of God in Mark chapter 4. If you want to turn there and look at what he's talking about, as he talks about, beginning in verse 13, for instance, he's talking about the Word of God and how people respond to it. He said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth what? The Word. That's what he's sowing. The sower soweth the Word. God help us to know the Word and sow the Word. Know it and sow it. And God will give results if we know and sow the Word. And so he talks about the different kinds of soil. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed. It is not corruptible seed, but of the seed by the Word of God. That's how we're born again. The Bible is the seed. The Bible is what needs to be planted. And so there are four heart responses to this. Now, the first enemy that we have about the seed of the Word of God is the devil. Verse 15, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But look what happens. But when they had heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. He loves to do that. He'll put anything in your mind in the service to draw you away from the truth. He will try to do anything to keep you from remembering the truth. I believe it's good to take notes, and you won't go to hell if you write in your Bible, all right? It's good to take notes and put them in your Bible or take some notes so that you will not forget what the Bible says about these things. And the devil is everywhere, and every word that is sown, he wants to steal people, steal it out of their minds. Some of you are thinking about the playoffs right now, tonight. See, the devil's got your mind on that basketball game. You need to get your mind back here in the service. But at any rate, we know that the devil, in all seriousness, does try to steal and keep our minds from keeping the seed of the Word of God. And it's not just in liberal churches where he's doing that. It's in our kind of Bible preaching churches where the devil is trying to steal the Word of God. He is after the seed, and if he gets it, you cannot respond. And if he gets it, you cannot mature in the things of God. Now, that's why I think it's important for people during a church service, and I'm not one that lets a lot of things bother me, but that's why it's not good to have people going in and out during the preaching. That's why it's not good to have any kind of distractions and that type thing. That's why we ask you to turn your cell phone off before you come in, because we don't want anything to be used to steal the Word of God. That's why we prefer that if a baby starts crying, bring them in if you want to, but if a baby starts crying and distracts, it's better if you take them out. Because the devil will use anything to rob and steal the Word of God as we try to preach the Word of God and as people listen to it. Now, there are those who gladly receive it. Look at verse 16 and 17. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. But look at the problem, verse 17. And have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. We see it in our churches. People come, they come forward, they get saved, they come and sit on the front row a few weeks, and then the next thing you know, even though we're teaching them and trying to disciple them and trying to get them involved, the next thing you know, they were so gung-ho at the beginning, all of a sudden you don't see them anymore. What's happened? The devil has stole the word. And when it really came time to really pay the price and to really stand up for the Lord, they did not have the devotedness in order to do that. And so they gladly receive it. That would be somebody that would do it more from emotionalism. From emotionalism. And many go forward and join and you never see them. Why? Because that's what happens to them. I think, according to the Word of God, they refused to keep responding to what the Bible says. They did not continue to read. They didn't continue to listen. They looked at the mirror and they didn't like what they saw. So they walked away and they did nothing about it. And we have a lot of Christians, so-called, on our roll books today, and that's their problem. And then some fell among the thorns, verses 18 and 19. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Isn't that a sad thing? They get the word, they receive the word, but then they let things come into their lives that cause it to choke the word. And he describes it here as the cares of this world. And another way of saying that is the riches of this world and all of the things that have to do with this system. All of those things. A pastor said to one of his members one time as he was visiting for the revival meeting, he said, "I want you to come and hear the evangelist tonight. I really want you to come." And the man said to the pastor, "If nothing else comes up, and if it's convenient, I'll be there." And the pastor said, "Don't bother. You know, if your heart's not right and your attitude's not right about it, you might as well stay home. But we ought to want to go. We should want to do it. Don't let the cares of the world pull you out of church. Don't let all of these other things keep you from being committed and dedicated to God like God expects us to be. Don't even fool with that. If you have no appetite, then probably you're immature. If you don't want to go to church, you're probably immature. If you don't like to go to revival, you're probably immature. If you don't love to come to the missions conference, you're probably immature. If you don't love what's going on down at the church, you're probably still a babe in the Lord Jesus Christ." And so we need to recognize that that's what he's talking about. We should have an appetite for the Lord's things. If not, we're immature. And it's a sad thing that people would allow, as it were, a pastor to spend hours preparing a message and to deliver it from his heart and to get up and preach the word of God and then not respond to it or don't even come to hear the preaching of the Word of God. That, in my opinion, is an immature Christian. Now, here's some on good soil. Look at verse 20. And these are they, and we're still talking about how do you respond to the Word of God in maturity. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the Word and receive it and bring forth fruit. God expects us to bring forth fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. There are different levels even of that maturing process. But here are the seeds that fell on good soil. And these people said, "I must respond." They looked into the mirror. They saw the Word of God. And they said, "Something's wrong. There are things I need to change. Things I need to do. There are things in my habit that are not in my life that are not right with God. Habits in my life. I need to do something about those things. I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't have the fruit of the Spirit in my life. I need to change it and respond. And I need to serve the living God." And so there are those who respond. Now I ask you tonight, where would you place yourself? At what level? I think we should all strive for that 100% level. I think that ought to be our goal. You say, well, I'll be satisfied with 30 or 60. You know, I don't know how we can look in the face of Jesus in our imagination and say that. I think we should want to give him everything. And I ask the question tonight, how do you respond to the truth? What is truth? The Word of God. How do we respond? Here's the mirror. Spend time in it. Look at it. And it'll show you what you need to do. And then by God's grace, go away from it and do something and respond to the Word of God. Are you a mature Christian? And sinner friend, the only way for you is to respond to the gospel. And you know I'm going to say something about that. You must be born again. You have to believe Jesus died for your sins. And if you'll respond and admit you're a sinner and ask him to save you, praise God, whosoever will can come to Christ and be saved. Are you saved tonight? How will you respond to what the Bible says? The people who respond to the truth get saved and go to heaven. Those who do not, unfortunately, die and go to an eternal damnation away from Christ. Let's stand, please. While our heads are bowed, let me ask you something. Have you been in the Bible? If not, may I encourage you tonight to make a fresh commitment to stay in the Word? And if you have and God has shown you something in the mirror of His Word, have you followed through? Are you doing it? I don't care how long we've been living and how long we've been saved. The Word of God is true and we must look at it. If it has to do with some sin, something in our lives, something that we know is the principle of the Word of God, then we need to do something about it. May God help us to do that. Sinner friend, would you come tonight and receive Christ? We love you. God loves you. And we want you to be saved. Father, bless the invitation. Have your will in it. In Christ's name, amen.